of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians. To read chapter 1, verse 7. Chapter 2, and verse 4. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. We read, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Then in Ephesians 2 and verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." In verse 7, we want to notice the phrase, "according to the riches of his grace." Verse 4 of chapter 2, we read of the riches of his mercy. So both of these verses tell us that God is rich in grace. God is rich in mercy. That is, that God is both gracious and merciful. And that is a fact that is established throughout the Word of God. In the book of Exodus, chapter 34 and verse 6, we read, "The Lord God merciful and gracious." Merciful and gracious. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 9, "For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful." The order is switched there. In Exodus, it was merciful and gracious. There, it's gracious and merciful. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, we see, "But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful." Nehemiah 9, verse 31, "For thou art a gracious and merciful God." Psalm 116 and verse 5, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful." Jonah said in Jonah 4 and verse 2, "For I know that thou art a gracious God and merciful." That God is gracious, that God is merciful, implies two things about man. It implies that man is undeserving. God's grace implies that man is undeserving of God's blessings. God's mercy implies that man is deserving of God's wrath, deserving of God's condemnation, God's judgment. So grace declares that we're unworthy or undeserving. Mercy declares that we are deserving, but deserving of the wrath of God. We're told here that he's not only gracious and merciful, but he is rich in grace, and he is rich in mercy. And we want to speak this evening upon that subject, the riches of God's grace and mercy. This morning we preached on the subject of sin, and the only hope for a sinful people is the grace and mercy of God. And the grace and mercy of God are not one and the same. They are different. And we ought to appreciate both the grace and the mercy of the Lord. So what is grace? Well, we all know that grace is the absolute free favor of God. His grace is manifested to us in bestowing blessings upon us, whether they be physical blessings, spiritual blessings, eternal blessings. They're all free. They're all undeserving. Someone will say, "Well, what about the conditional promises of God? You do this and God will do such and such." The real truth is that you could not meet any of those conditions unless God gave you the grace to do so. God gives you the grace to meet the conditions, and then God blesses you for meeting the conditions. I don't care how you look at it, it's grace. It's the free favor of God. Grace is God's favor that gives us what we do not deserve. And the truth is, we deserve nothing good from the hand of God. Whether it be physical health, whether it be spiritual blessings, whether it be material blessings, it does not matter. We are deserving of none. We do not deserve material blessings. We do not deserve physical blessings. And we certainly do not deserve spiritual blessings. So any blessings that we have is all the result of God's grace. Now, God's grace flows from the giving nature of God. God gives us something that we do not deserve. And grace, of course, is always free. It would not be grace if it was not free. And it is not, what that means is that it is not due to any merit of our own. It's not due to any works of our own. And God is rich in grace. His grace, we read in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 14, is abundant. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding. That is, that which passes and excels abundant. God's grace was exceeding abundant. That is, abundant means plenty, ample, supply, more than enough. And God's grace exceeds. It's exceedingly abundant. God's grace exceeds abundance. That is, you cannot measure the grace of God. You cannot measure the grace of God in one life. In any human being's life, you cannot possibly measure the grace of God in that life, even if the person's lost. The grace that God has bestowed upon them in giving them air to breathe, it's all grace. And it's abundant. It's exceeding abundant. We read in Romans 5 and verse 20 that His grace is abounding. Where sin abounded, grace did much more. Which is the same as exceed. Grace did much more abound. That is, grace is able to overflow. Grace is able to overflow our sins. Grace is able to overflow our demerit. It goes beyond our demerit. It goes beyond our sin. His grace is sufficient, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. His grace is manifold, 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. We read of the manifold grace of God, which speaks of the fact that God's grace is of diversity, that God's grace is of variety. That is, God gives us grace in a variety of ways. But however it is that God bestows grace upon us, we're all the objects of God's grace, especially those who know the Lord as Savior. We are the objects and we are the trophies of God's grace. Every morning we get up shows us that God is a gracious God. God gives us another day that we do not deserve. God gives us another breath that we do not deserve. God enables us to take a step that we do not deserve to take. God enables us to feel good, and we don't deserve to feel good. And on we can go. It's all the grace of God. I don't see how anybody can be angry about grace. Grace is the most wonderful thing there is, the grace of God. Then we think about God's mercy, which is different than His grace. God's mercy, of course, speaks of His compassion. But it's His compassion to the wretched. It's His compassion to the hell deserving. It proceeds from God's grace, but it's not, again, the same as God's grace. God's mercy is God's favor that holds back what we deserve. God's grace gives us what we do not deserve in the form of blessings. God's mercy holds back what we do deserve. So God's grace proceeds or flows from the giving nature of God. God's mercy flows from the restraining nature of God. You ever think how much God has to restrain Himself with you and I. That's mercy. How much God has to restrain himself with all of humanity. I mean, you go to the trials of Jesus Christ. And the very ones who spit upon Jesus Christ, he held their breath in his hand. The restraining. You and I couldn't have restrained ourselves. But he restrained himself. And God still restrains himself. And that's why people will, they'll make foolish statements like, if there be a God, let him strike me dead. And God didn't strike him dead, so there's no God. But what they don't understand is the restraining mercy of God. The restraining mercy of God. That God holds back what they deserve. And we need to think upon the mercy of God. God holding back what we deserve. What does one sin deserve? Well, it deserves condemnation. Every time we sin, we deserve to be struck. We deserve to be condemned. Right then and there. But God's mercy restrains us. Restrains. We see God's mercy is great. We read in Numbers 14 and verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering. In other words, God is patient. And that speaks of his grace. We don't deserve the patience of God. And it's the patience of God that restrains God from striking us down. But the Lord is long-suffering. And he's of great mercy. That is, his mercy is extensive. His mercy is broader and wider than what we deserve. We deserve to be condemned. We deserve to be cast into hell. Every day I get up, I deserve to be cast into hell. Every time I sin, I deserve to be struck dead. That's what we deserve. But God's mercy is broader. God's mercy is wider than what we deserve. You know how wide and how broad God's mercy has to be? God is of great mercy. His mercy is also plenteous. We read in Psalm 86 and verse 5 that he is plenteous in mercy. When you have plenty, you have more than enough. In other words, God's mercy is more than enough. More than enough. Many times we'll think, well, I can't believe that so-and-so saved because you'd think that God would strike him dead. But we cannot underestimate the mercy of God. God is merciful. God does restrain. His mercy is also abundant. We read of his abundant mercy in 1 Peter 1. In verse 3, we see that our new birth came about from the abundant mercy of God. Just like his grace, his mercy is of multiplicity. We read in Psalm 5 and verse 7, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercies. And every time you and I walk into the house of God, we come into his house in the multitude of God's mercy. It's of God's mercy that he would allow us to come into the house of God. That you and I would be allowed to even walk in the building that is referred to as his house, is of the grace and mercy of the Lord. That we would be allowed to sit in the pew and sing songs and to hear messages. That we would be even allowed to hear the word of God, is of the grace and the mercy of God. His mercy is manifold. We read in Nehemiah 9 and verse 19, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not. In other words, we deserve to be forsaken. But God in his mercy does not forsake us. So our nature and our need requires both grace and mercy. We need both. We need the undeserved favor
of God. And we also need for God to restrain what we deserve. So we need both. We need grace. We need mercy. We are undeserving of God's blessings. We do not deserve one single thing, one single good thing from God. We can never be deserving of the blessings of God. How many times people have said to all of us, well, you deserve that. No, we don't. No, we don't. Well, you deserve to take a vacation. No, you don't. We don't deserve any good thing. We don't deserve that. Well, you've been faithful all these years. You deserve that. No, you don't. And sometimes we get to thinking, yeah, I do deserve that. You know, I've worked hard and I deserve this. You don't deserve anything. And when we realize how terrible and how awful sin is, we come to realize I don't deserve any blessings of God. Just think of how awful one sin is. And you and I, we cannot even begin to count our sins. We stand in need of God's grace. Every day, we stand in need of the grace of God. Every day, we need God to be gracious to us. And every day, God is gracious to us. Every day we live, God is gracious to us. We're deserving of God's wrath. I'll always be deserving of God's wrath. You'll always be deserving of God's wrath. Every day we get up, we deserve the wrath of God. Therefore, we are in desperate need of God's mercy. But I'm glad in the year 2010 that we can still preach to unworthy, hell-deserving sinners that God is gracious, that God is merciful. And He is. He's both gracious and He's merciful. Every lost sinner needs the grace of God. Every lost sinner needs the mercy of God. Every saved sinner needs the grace of God. And every saved sinner needs the mercy of God. So God's grace and mercy has not been diminished through the years. He's still just as rich in grace as He's always been. Still just as rich in mercy as He's always been. And every day I experience the grace of God. And every day I experience the mercy of God. And every day I need the grace of God. And every day I need the mercy of God. But the truth is, you and I cannot begin to comprehend God's grace. We cannot begin to comprehend God's mercy. It's more amazing than we'll ever know. We sing the song, Amazing Grace. We have no idea just how amazing it is. Because in order to understand just how amazing it is, we'd have to fully understand how evil and how vile and how wicked sin is. And none of us fully understand that. We will never comprehend how wonderful God's grace is and how wonderful His mercy is. And it's more wonderful than we'll ever know. It's more phenomenal than we'll ever be able to think or imagine. In order to fully understand God's grace, we'd have to fully understand how unworthy, how undeserving we are of God's blessings. And I don't think any of us have ever even come close. I don't think we've ever even gotten in the ballpark yet of realizing how unworthy we are. And in order to fully comprehend God's grace, we'd have to realize how unworthy we are. In order to fully comprehend God's mercy, we'd have to realize how deserving we are of His wrath. There aren't many folks today that really, truly believe that they are deserving of the wrath of God.
There's not many that believe that. There's not many sitting here that probably believe that, really. But we would have to understand how deserving we are of the wrath and the curse of God in order to fully understand God's mercy. In order to fully comprehend God's grace and mercy, we'd have to be able to have some idea. We'd have to be able to comprehend the number of our sins. Because every sin we commit makes us undeserving of the blessings of God. Again, we have no idea how undeserving we are of the blessings of God. And every sin we commit makes us deserving of the wrath and the curse of God. Again, we have no idea how merciful our God is. In order to fully comprehend just how amazing God's grace and mercy are, we would need to be able to fully comprehend how filthy and how vile sin is. But God has shed his abundant grace and mercy upon us. He hasn't just given us a little taste of it. He has shed it upon us. Every day, it overflows upon us. If you're able to get up tomorrow, that's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. That you're able to feel halfway decent, that's the grace of God. And even if you feel horrible, still a lot less than you deserve. That's the mercy of God. So I don't care how you get up tomorrow. You're an object of God's grace. You're an object of God's mercy. In spite of how vile and how filthy we are, God, before the foundation of the world, chose and appointed us and ordained us to eternal life. That's grace. That's the grace of God. Now in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9 we read, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath." That's mercy. That's mercy. That he appointed us to eternal life, that's grace. He gave us what we do not deserve. That he hath not appointed us to wrath, he withheld what we do deserve. That's mercy. So there is a difference between the grace and the mercy of God. And I thank God for both, because I need both. I need the grace of God. I need the mercy of God. It was the grace and mercy of God that God sent his Son into the world to purchase our salvation. It was the grace and mercy of God that God delivered Jesus Christ as a criminal condemned to death. This is all the result of both his grace and mercy. We came into this world dead in trespasses and sins, hopelessly held by the chains of sin, hopelessly held by the chains of Satan, and living in enmity toward God, walking according the course of this world, alienated from God, without any saving knowledge of God. We had lost the image of God, yet God imparted to us life. That's grace. Called us by name, drew us unto himself. That is all due to the grace of God. Set us free from the shackles of sin. That's all grace. Again, I don't care how you look at salvation, what angle you look at it, it does not matter. It's grace through and through. Every bit of it is by the grace of God. Now, we came into this world dead in trespasses and sins. But God did not leave us in that state of death. His mercy, because we deserve that. That God did not leave us in the chains of sin. That he did not leave us in the chains of Satan is mercy. That he did not leave us in a state of enmity against God and in a state of alienation. That's mercy. We read in Ephesians chapter 1 that we are accepted by God. That's grace. Rather than rejected, that's mercy. We're accepted by grace. The fact that we're not rejected, that's what we deserve. We deserve to be rejected by God. That's what we deserve. That's mercy that we're not. Yet today, people seem to think that God has to accept everybody. No, he doesn't. You're not deserving of the acceptance of God. No one is. That's the grace of God. Well, God wouldn't reject anybody. Yes, he will. And we all deserve to be rejected. But that he doesn't reject us, that's mercy. We're justified. That's grace. We're justified by the grace of God. We're not condemned. That's mercy. It's just the flip side of justification. One is grace. One is mercy. We're cleansed. That's grace. That we're not left in the filth of our sin. That's mercy. So you see, we need both the grace and mercy of God. We're on our way to heaven. That's grace. I'm not on my way to hell. That's mercy. Because that's what I deserve. So again, we thank God for both the grace and mercy of God. Placed in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's grace. Rather than being left in the heresies of the religious world, that's mercy. That's the mercy of God. All through our saved life, we have sinned against the one who saved our soul. There has not been one single day that we did not commit a multitude of sins. Because again, no one sin stands alone. Every sin involves a multitude of sins. You think of all our rebellion since the day the Lord saved our soul. Whether it was a rebellion in act or whether it was a rebellion in thought. You think of all our rebellions. You think of all the times that we've wandered. Whether again in act or thought. You think of all the things that we held back from God and still hold back to God. You think of all the ways that we have failed to submit to God. And all the ways that we're failing right now to submit to God. Every single one of us here tonight has an area in our life where we have absolutely failed to submit to God. And that God would allow us to come and worship Him, that's grace. That God doesn't strike us down, that's His mercy. We're the objects of the grace and mercy of God. You think of all the coldness. You think of all the indifference. And all what grace. What mercy. You think of all our murmurings and complainings. We complain every time we're a little uncomfortable. We complain when something doesn't go exactly like we want it to go. All the grace of God. That God would in turn give us another blessing after we complained about the one He just gave us. That's grace. That God doesn't strike us down for murmuring and complaining. That's the mercy of God. You ever stop and think what it must deserve to complain against God? For you and I to complain? Again, we read in the book of Lamentations, shall a living man complain? Do we have any right? Do we have any reason? Not if we consider what we deserve. We have no reason to complain. You think of all of our evil thoughts and all the grace and mercy of God. You think of the times that you've sat in God's house singing a hymn and a vile thought just rushes through your mind. God's mercy, they don't strike us right there. It's the mercy
of God. Think of all the pride. You know, the truth is, God can't bless us without you and I becoming proud about it. That's the truth. In some way, we will become proud about the very blessings of God. God shows us truth and we get proud in that truth. And on we could go. All the times that we have quenched the movings of the Spirit of God. And yet, God blesses us. God blesses us over and over and over and over. That's grace. That's the grace of God. Psalm 68. Notice some verses about the blessings of God. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. He loads us down every single day with benefits. We do not deserve those benefits. It's all by the grace of God. Psalm 115, verse 12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Then notice verse 15. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That's true of every one of us. Every single one of us are blessed of God. Blessed of the one who made heaven and earth. Do we deserve the blessings of God? Absolutely not. It's grace. It's grace. God has blessed me today. God will bless me tomorrow. And even if I don't live tomorrow, God will bless me in heaven. And it's all by the grace of God. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And all these blessings are in Christ. But he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That is the grace of God. That God has not condemned us. That God has not smacked us down. Has not devoured us in his wrath. That's mercy. So every one of us here tonight are living proof that God is gracious. Someone will say, well, I don't really believe in the grace of God. The fact that you're standing or sitting here is proof that God is gracious. Well, I don't really believe in the mercy of God. The fact that you're here is proof that God is gracious, that God is merciful. So in closing, we are the objects of God's grace. We are the objects of God's mercy. Every day, we receive what we do not deserve. And every day, we are spared from what we do deserve. That's grace. That's mercy. Our lives are surrounded by the grace and the mercy of God. And our thoughts ought to go along the veins of the thoughts of the psalmist. He said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Psalm 116, verse 12. What can we possibly give unto the Lord for his grace? Can we praise him enough? Certainly not.
Can we exalt him too high? Certainly not. Can we honor him too much? Certainly not. Can you give him too much? Can you surrender to him too much? Can you go too far in honoring and exalting God? No. We cannot even begin to honor him like he deserves. We cannot even begin to praise him like he deserves. How can we give less than ourselves? When you think about the grace and mercy of God, how can you give less than your all? And even if you gave everything, and even if from this point on you never committed another sin, you still wouldn't be worthy of a single blessing of God. We'd still be deserving of the wrath of God. How can we be, in light of the grace and mercy of God, how can we be cold? How can we be indifferent toward him? In light of the grace and mercy of God, how can we not put him first in our lives? And the fact that we don't put him first in our lives many times is just further proof of the grace and mercy of God. How can we not serve him? Why do people who are the objects of God's grace and mercy argue about serving the one who's so gracious and merciful to them? It's as if they believe that they can go too far in their service to God. How can we hold unto that which is displeasing unto God? How can we even bear the thought of displeasing the Lord? How can we take the attitude, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care if God likes it or not? And you might not say that, but that's exactly the way we think sometimes. How, in light of the grace and mercy of God, how can we persist in our own will, in our own ways? Oh, how we need God's grace and mercy every day. Every day I need the blessings of God. That's God's grace. And every day I need God to restrain himself from giving me what I deserve. And that is the mercy of God. When God pours his blessings upon our lives, we ought to have the attitude, why me? That's when he pours his blessings upon us. Now, just the opposite today. When trials and afflictions come our way, we say, why me? And it ought to be just the opposite. When God blesses us, whether it be the smallest, what we perceive to be a very small blessing, there are no small blessings, but what we perceive to be a small blessing, why don't we say, Lord, why me? Why are you so good to me? I mean, when was the last time you asked God, why me? That's what David did in 2 Samuel 7 in verse 18. He sat down after the Lord was going to gave him the instructions for the temple. And he said, who am I, O Lord? Who am I? That's a good question. When God blesses us, we need to ask, why me? And when God fills your life with difficulties and sorrows, you need to say, why not me? Why not me? Why shouldn't it be me? If we get cancer tomorrow, we find out we have cancer and we're going to suffer greatly, our attitude ought to be, why not me? That ought to be our attitude. And if God rains his blessings from heaven down upon us tomorrow, it ought to be, Lord, why me? We ought to always feel undeserving of the blessings of God. We ought to always feel deserving of the condemnation and wrath of God. And if we keep those two things straight in our minds, we'll be a people that praise the Lord. We'll be a people that worships the Lord. And we'll be a people that take our proper place before God. Oh, how we ought to go from here tonight thanking God for His grace. Again, every single day, we are the recipients of God's grace. There isn't a day that goes by, that goes back before we were born. It covers every second of our lives. We have been the recipients of God's grace. The problem is we are so self-centered, so self-involved, that we don't know a blessing many times when they're there. We take them for granted. And then, every single day, all the days of my life, God's mercy has been right there. We know that because we're still here. That's how we know that God has been merciful to us up to this point. So thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. And take your proper place before God as an object of His grace and an object of His mercy. Brother Larry.